Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've joined us, and we'd like to ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. There are so many things that are not being covered in the mainstream media, and it's so important for all of us to hear it. So I've got a wonderful guest, Mr. Dan Fraley. He's a student and a teacher of Jewish roots, Hebraic roots, and we've got him today as we're going to talk about the Middle East. But, Mr. Dan, as always, we'd like to start the show, of course, with asking God to be over this conversation. I'm sorry, Mr. Dan, I'm getting a little bit of a reverb. Sometimes if it's on two phones or two somethings, it will reverberate. Are you hearing? Okay, I don't hear it anymore.
I just lowered my volume.
Okay. Okay. Well, maybe that's better. If you don't mind, I'll let you go ahead, sir, and start us off with prayer.
All right. We'll start off with the tradition of Jewish blessing that Jesus started his prayers with, and it's Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Abba, Father, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for another day. We thank you for the very air that we breathe, and we thank you for the lives that we live, and we thank you for the opportunity to lift you up and to praise you, and we wish to praise you eternally. Lord, you are our God, and you are our Lord, and Lord, we just ask you to lend an ear to the pleas and the petitions of those Christians around the world, especially those that are on the front lines. And Lord, we ask a special blessing on your children of Israel, and to protect Jerusalem and the land of Israel against the onslaught of its enemy that's surrounding it. Father, we just ask you to bless this program. Rain down your Holy Spirit upon us, Lord, so that we may speak only the things out of our lips that you would have us say and to glorify you. In Yeshua's precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen, Mr. Dan. Thank you so much. And, you know, it's just really timely that we have you on today. There's so many things going on, and I'm sure that you've probably seen part of the questioning of Hillary Clinton yesterday regarding what happened in Benghazi. But we can no longer depend on our leaders, unfortunately, to tell us truthful answers even before a congressional hearing. And so it's up to us to really dig the truth. I hate to say that because, unfortunately, many things are left unanswered by our own federal government. So with that in mind, I guess we need to start off just to ask you to let us know what you're sensing in the Middle East in regard to Bible prophecies. And I know that you're very upset about certain things that's happening, especially to Egypt. And, Mr. Dan, I'm sorry, I'm hearing myself reverberate. I don't know if maybe you can move a little bit or something and maybe it'll get better. But anyway, go ahead. I don't think it does it when you're, it's fine. I don't hear it. Okay, go ahead.
Can you hear me okay now?
Oh, I hear you perfect. Yes, sir.
I'm in the middle of the building, so... Well, the thing that's got me kind of concerned right now, of course, we know Bible prophecy tells us that in the last days that every nation will come against Israel. And we can see the dominoes leaning up in that direction. Here just this last week, we have been giving armament and supplies to Egypt. And the thing that I'm especially concerned about is the high technology F-16s, which are rated like 58 or 59 on the technological scale, which is higher than what we've given Israel. And it's just frustrating to me knowing the words that's come out of that leader's mouth over there saying that the Jews are just born of apes and they're offspring of apes and they need to be driven into the sea. And they're one of the major funders. In fact, Hamas is the arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. And yet we are holding sanctions against Israel and then arming their enemies. It just doesn't make sense to me why Obama would allow that to happen and why Congress allowed Obama to do that. It seems like this is not the type of thing that makes front page news, but it should be. Because we are arming our very enemies. If we're going to go protect Israel, if the onslaught of Islam comes against it, it's going to be our own people fighting against our own weaponry that we developed. And that's one of the things that upset me. And what kind of a surety are we giving the Jewish people any kind of security as being their ally when all the things are going on to slap Israel in the face? We see that Hillary Clinton, like you said, was being questioned just recently about the Benghazi thing. And is this the same kind of leadership that we're going to have if we get into a full-scale war here in the Middle East between the Muslims and Israel? It's a very frightening picture being painted right now.
Well, Mr. Dan, I look at that and I'm thinking, some people will say, well, we know what the end of the story is. We know what the Bible says, that at the end, we win. But at the same time, I'm thinking he did say that we are to occupy until he comes. And from what I've heard Mr. Wayne and Ms. Barbara says, that's active. That means we must be about God's business, actively doing something. And I think he says in his word that whoever blesses Israel will be blessed, and whoever curses Israel will be cursed. And I'm thinking to myself, aren't we setting ourselves up by really allowing this, technology to go to them? Aren't we, in essence, helping the enemy of Israel, which is, I'm thinking, it's going to go against us. I just don't think that, God will excuse us for what we're doing.
Well, I don't think so either, and I think that's why we are hurting economically, and some of the things that's going on in this nation are the reason that they're happening, I believe, is because God is pulling our blessings away from us as a nation as fast as we are putting him out of our nation as our God. And we saw during the Obama's inauguration speeches that he is glorifying the gay movement, and he's sanctioning the help for contraceptives and stuff for businessmen to have to buy for their employees, and abortion, taxpayers are going to have to pay for abortions, and so on and so forth. I mean, how can God bless a nation that's just shoving our Messiah's face in the mud, so to speak? And yet, he calls himself a Christian. I know he's not. And the person that he has to pray over the inauguration is a gay pastor. These kind of things bother me because they are so adamant against what's written in the scriptures. We might as well take the Bible and throw it away if we're going to go along that line of thinking.
Well, and that's the troubling thing too, Mr. Dan. We live here in the Bible Belt, and you know, I almost think, you know, we're the keeper of the word. You know, we go every Sunday and we learn, you know, from God's word, and it's, you know, we are we see it as very holy. But yet, it's like, okay, we do that on Sunday only. You know, let's keep it there. Let's not equate it into the things of this world. Certainly, let's not put any of those things in the way, you know, this nation is run. And I'm thinking to myself, that might have been okay 50 years ago, but I don't think we're to the point that we have been made so weak because of that thinking. We are now at our weakest point, I would think.
I would agree with that. I'm going to close the door. Mayor compressor just went off. Trying to walk around the building here.
Well, we appreciate you taking time for us out of your busy schedule because you're running a business. But anyway, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I agree. We spiritually, we are definitely at our weakest point. Now, economically, we're going downhill still. We're not at our weakest point there. It scares me being a businessman that, you know, the way the economy is going. But the Bible does promise those who love him, he will take care of. So, you know, all we do is place our faith in him. He owns all everything there is to own. He created everything, so I can't allow myself to worry about that sort of thing. But then the Bible also tells us to pray for the peace of Israel and Jerusalem. It tells us to place our petitions before him, and the prophecies warn us so that we'll have an ear to hear and eyes to see the things that are coming on the earth, because we are warned that we need to warn people. And if we don't, then their blood is on us. But if we warn them and they continue to do evil, then the blood's on themselves. So our mission as Christians right now, here in the last of the last days, should be a prophetic ministry throughout Christendom, just like the prophets. Prophets always, first thing that came out of their mouth is teshuvah, to repent. And that's what we need to do as a nation, and we need to get others, even not in our nation, all over the world, to repent and come to the foot of the cross, to grace, and accept the Messiah as the Messiah, and turn from our evil ways, because judgment is fixing to come upon the earth. And if we don't warn people of that, then the Bible scripture specifically says that their blood will be on our hands. So,
well, Mr. Dan, I think to myself, you know, the pastors out there, and we have some amazingly wonderful pastors, you know, especially in our area. We're just so blessed because there's a church almost in every corner, and that is so true. And so, you know, we do hear the word of God every Sunday. And Wednesday nights, you know, should we just go? And but what's so troubling to me is that it's almost, as somebody has pointed out, you know, it's almost become a business to run a church, you know. And I'm wondering if it has not taken the eyes of our pastors off of their first love, you know. And I think about Jesus Christ, who really had no, you know, he would sleep wherever he could sleep. But, you know, now that our pastors are in these comfortable, wonderful homes with comfortable, wonderful salaries, and, of course, want to take care of their wonderful families, I'm thinking if they've forgotten about that calling, because I almost feel like the flocks are scattered. You know, we all we have to do is watch television and know that the children are wild. They're like heathens. They're growing up so wild and away from God. And now the latest thing that I'm hearing is now our schools are fixing to be really teaching the Allah is God curriculum. That, unfortunately, is something that the Obama administration has zoomed in on. It was available in Texas. It was online curriculum in Texas. And now Obama administration is going to use it, and it's going to go through what is called Common Core Standards, which is really unknown to most parents. You can no longer go to your local school board and really make a difference in the standards that's being taught to your children. Because our state board of education, because of the need for money, signed away your parental right, and now you have to go to Washington. And what does Washington do? Under this Obama administration, they're wanting to be politically correct. And they're wanting to pass this Obama's passing this Allah is God curriculum. And it is really, when you look at the curriculum, it is really, really very, very troubling. And I'm looking at it, and it says right here, compare the historical origin, central ideas, and the spread of major religious and philosophical traditions, including they had Buddhism, Christianity, Confucianism, Hinduism, Islam, and Judaism, but then they marked everything off, and they're only focusing on Islam. And they're going to teach about the five pillars of Islam. What are the pillars of faith, and how are they reflected in Islamic society? These are some of the guides' questions. How and where did Islam begin? How does Islam compare to other religions? What are the differences between Shiites and Sunnis? And they're going to learn all sorts of different vocabularies. They're going to get an excerpt from the Quran, a five pillars of faith organizer. I mean, this is insane, isn't it? Because most parents have no idea that this is what's coming for their children.
Well, and society has been set up to keep the parents so busy trying to make a living, struggling to pay all the taxes and the different things that they have to pay, that they don't have the time to check and see if their children are being taught properly in the school system. Satan is really working hard right now, keeping everybody's mind occupied off of what's going on in the realm, the real world around them. He's blinding them through video games and texting and TV and stress of work. And I mean, it goes on. It's just an endless thing. And we send our kids to school, and they're learning things that are going to be against the things that we believe in. And the Bible speaks of the prophecies that children will turn against their parents in the last days. Do you think if the parents start speaking against Islam after a child has been raised up to glorify Islam, are they not going to turn against their parents?
That's very troubling to think of at all, Mr. Dan. And I remember back in September 23rd, 2011, I've got here an article about a student who was suspended for expressing his opinion that homosexuality is wrong. And, you know, his First Amendment right has been shattered. He was suspended just because he disagreed with his teacher in regard to that and was really speaking not to the teacher but to a fellow student. But the teacher heard him, and lo and behold, he was suspended for expressing his opinion that is wrong. And I'm thinking, Mr. Dan, I'm not remembering God's word, where it says that there's going to be a famine for the Word of God. And I'm thinking, are we almost there? Because I know that pastors are afraid to preach about certain texts now because of, you know, what this administration is implying they will do.
Yeah, the hate crime legislation is going to be a real problem to pastors. The encouragement that Obama has given them in the last few years, and especially during his speech, is it just encouraged them, the gay community, to lash out in every direction that they possibly can. He's embellished them with power, and we haven't seen anything yet. They're going to purposely pick pastors that they know are homophobic and have them ask them to marry them and so on and so forth in those states that have legalized marriage just so that they can get them in trouble. We've already seen that take place in countries in Europe like Sweden. There are pastors that are spending 7 to 15 year sentences because they refuse to marry gay individuals.
And another thing too, Mr. Dan, Chief Arnie Duncan is the education secretary that Obama appointed. And, you know, he was one that was pushing for a gay, lesbian, and transgender school. It's a high school designed for gay. This is the one that was the pick of Obama. So, you know, some people will think all this is conspiracy, but if they'll dare to look at the facts, what's really behind these people, their resumes, I think they would be shocked that we have a leader that is so pro-left, so pro, really anti-God values. And, you know, that I'm thinking it's really that time where we have to be scared at what will God do, because it's like we keep on going our way without really thinking about what the consequence, because God is sovereign.
That's right. You know, and you were talking about that boy just speaking his mind, his opinion. Well, where did that opinion come from? It came from the Bible. It came from God's opinion. Now, any time that we go against God's word, how is that going to bless us? I mean, how can you even believe? How can somebody say that they believe in a God when they say, oh, he's done away with those kind of things? Surely he's inclusive of gay rights, because two gay people, he heard it in his speech say that, oh, they love each other. What's the difference between them loving each other or straight people loving each other? You know, the difference is God sanctioned marriage. And it came from God through all nationalities throughout the world. Every tribe and every nation has marriages between a man and a woman. Where did that come from? Did it come from the very beginning, from God? And now here in these last days, we're allowing it to be changed, to say God didn't really mean that. It's frightening, because they're going to be held in judgment of that, and we're going to be held in judgment of that for not warning them and for tolerating it and not speaking out against it. So that boy, for being expelled from school, actually he's going to be blessed for that. I mean, he's going to be rewarded for speaking his mind. And we need more people to do that. If we had more people doing that, it would be a little hard for them to, you know, to keep coming against us and our beliefs. And they're going to keep doing it as long as all the Christians are just sitting in their pews on Sunday and going to sleep. And especially when they leave the church, they're zeroed out in another world somewhere. So we're not doing what we need to do. We need to rise up, come together as a true body of Christ, and forget about interdenominational bickering and put our foots down and say, this nation was the only nation other than Israel that was founded on the principles of God and the Judeo-Christian Bible and the New Testament. We are not an Islamic nation. And yes, we will tolerate other religions, but we have the freedom of speech in this religion to be able to tell them what we think of that religion.
Oh, indeed, Mr. Dan. And I'm going to go ahead and mention this. We have a conference on February the 9th at Open Door Baptist Church. The address of that, for those that are interested, is 1509 Rooker Boulevard, Enterprise, Alabama. It will start at 9:30 a.m. till 12 noon with a complimentary lunch. And we're just asking all parents, all grandparents, all pastors, all youth pastors, teachers, administrators, anyone that is interested in the future of our children and really the future of America, to come and find out what is going on in your school, what is being pushed on your children. To me, Mr. Grant, it's really very hurtful when you think of a child that God has gifted us, you know, for us to have responsibility, that we're pretty much leaving them out there among the wolves, the vultures, and the serpents. You know, it's like we're letting this world pick on our children's mind, and we forget that these children, innocent when they're little, will become adults. And, you know, I think the Bible is very clear about that. It's better to hang a millstone around our neck than really to lead these little ones away from him. And I think that's what our public education is certainly going to do if we allow this kind of indoctrination to come in.
Amen to that.
And I just, to me, it's very frightening, especially when we look at the Bible prophecies and we look, as you said, at what's going on with Egypt being armed to really be able to trounce on Israel like that. You know, I mean, we all know what that is going to mean. Things are going to come to a head, and I'm thinking, my goodness, the Bible's been warning us that for a long time. You know, we who read God's Word, we've seen that. And the tools are really being amassed to where they will try to obliterate Israel.
Yeah, and it happens. I mean, they come against Israel. We don't know exactly when, but I think it's real soon. And two-thirds of the Israelis will be destroyed, according to prophecy, and the houses will be rifled, and the women and the daughters will be raped. You know, the Bible speaks of all these things happening, but then God steps in miraculously and puts a stop to it instantaneously, and it says the spirit of confusion would be brought upon the armies coming against Israel. So I kind of read that as when they get close to winning the battle, they're going to think, well, you know, the Syrians are going to think, well, we want the booty, and the Egyptians are going to think, no, we want the booty, and all the other nations, you know, Iran and so on, want booty. And so pretty soon that spirit of confusion, I think, is where they start killing each other over the booty. And then God has his remnant that, you know, that he will bring into the millennial period. But we're going to go through some really rough times, and we can't depend on, you know, knowing exactly when the tribulation period begins, or if there's a rapture, when exactly it's going to take place, and so on and so forth. So we got to place our faith in God, but we have to do what's important now as Christians, and that's to fight the fight of the kingdom and work for the king in everything and anything that we do. Yes, it's important to support our families and so on and so forth, but it's also important that we be about the Lord's business here and now, as much time as we can devote to it.
Well, Mr. Dinn, I'm looking at this. Liberty Counsel, which we've got on our website, has put out a really great summary on what churches and pastors can and cannot do. So I'm going to read some of this. For those of you pastors that are afraid, it says right here regarding educating political process and political / social legislative issues, the church can do that, and the pastor can do that. You can support, you can oppose. And then to preach sermons on social issues and political issues and activism, the church can do that, and the pastor can do that too. So it's really, if you are a pastor and you're not sure, I'm going to suggest that you go to our website, www.cityonahill.tv, and we'll put that right on the very front. It's under one of our articles, but I'm going to move that to this evening, and I'm going to put it right there as the latest blog so that you'll see it, so that you can print it, because I think God's word says, my people perish for lack of knowledge, and I think too many of our pastors do not know what they can and cannot do. They have been really scared by the enemy to think that, you know, they just need to really be quiet and not say a thing. But at the same time, it's hurting the congregation because, you know, the children are now really at stake here. I mean, we adults, we read the Bible, we know where we stand, most of us that are Christians. We know where we stand. But it's the young people, and we don't know. God may come next year. God may come in 5 years or longer. You know, he may not end it this year, or, you know, he might wait a lot later. But I'm thinking, Mr. Dan, for that child that is going to be raised up away from the training and admonition of the Lord. And you know, used to, you know, we had gone to the point, we started off with that, what the founders wanted. They wanted to teach God's word so that, you know, it could be compared. The children can grow up comparing the laws being made against the scriptures. And then we went in the middle. We went neutral. Okay, you can no longer, you know, you can no longer have the Bible in schools. You can't have the Ten Commandments. So it went neutral. But now we're on the other side, Mr. Dan. They're now going to be taught anti-God virtues. And are we going to be quiet?
Well, if we stay quiet, it's going to get worse. I think it's our responsibility to do whatever we can do, especially calling our congressmen and complain about these things. I know as soon as I find that number, I'm going to call about the fighter jets to find out why they're selling, or basically we don't ever get paid for that kind of stuff, so basically we're giving fighter planes away and giving millions and millions of dollars to the Muslim Brotherhood, knowing that they're enemies of Israel. If anybody still believes,
I can get it. Oh yeah.
If anybody still believes that what Egypt did is turning to democracy, they've got a loose nut in their head somewhere, because this is not the democratic process going on over there. That guy we saw last month, he almost got ousted by his own people because he's trying to be a dictator. We don't need to be arming people like that. They're crazy. That's like arming Hitler. It's a very frightening thing. And if we don't put our feet down about what's going on in our school systems, if parents don't start getting involved in how their kids are going to be educated, they might as well kiss their kids goodbye, because they won't be loyal to. And in fact, they won't even be loyal. Why even be loyal to a family unit when everything about the teaching of the gay rights and stuff is pretty much anti-family? Most of your murders, most of the situations that's going on, and crime and stuff, and most of the breakups. I mean, we hear all these things coming out of the jealousy and the rage between gays upon gays. It's just lust. It's not based on a true love. I may be speaking beyond my point right here, because I don't have any knowledge of that. But the bottom line is, the Bible says that those that have heard the word and turned from it will be turned over to a reprobate mind, and they will begin to desire the flesh of their own kind. So basically, to me, gay people who desire their own sexual, you know, their own organs that they have on someone else, there's got to be something dysfunctional about that, according to God's scriptures, and they are.
And Mr. Dan, I just, I'm looking too at what's happened in Israel with Netanyahu made weakened, and I'm thinking, are they a little bit like us there too? You know, it's almost like, do they not realize the dangers they're in? I think we almost parallel the majority of their thinking, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they're a diverse people also, a melting pot just like we are, and a lot of different ideas. You have, the Working Party, you have the Socialist Party, and you have the Conservative Party, similar to what we have. You have the righteous, the secular. You go to Tel Aviv to play, and you go to Jerusalem to pray. There's a difference between night and day between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. But, you know, they're going through the same situation. But they are in the middle. They are the bullseye of the target. They're the ones that's going to suffer all the condemnation that's coming against the earth because of the judgments of God here in the last days, purposely. God designed it that way. He chose them. He chose them not for salvation. The Jews themselves think sometimes, we're God's chosen people. Well, why did he choose them? He chose them to be a sign unto the nations. As they slipped away from the blessings of God because of their sins, it was a sign to us. And people wrote it down in the book. And as they turned back to God, it showed the blessings that God poured out upon them, and that was a sign to the people of the world. So they are a sign to us throughout the prophetic times here, even into the future. Just the point that they returned and became a nation after so many years was a sign to that generation that that would be the generation that would see the Messiah coming in his power and glory as the king in the last days. So these are all promises for our generation. And that's why I say, you know, we've heard it all our lives. Oh, we are in the last days. Well, that's true. They've been saying that ever since Jesus resurrected out of the tomb. But if you read the prophecies of Hosea, the Jewish wedding, the betrothed cannot come and claim his bride any sooner than a year and no longer than 2 years. So we went through the first 1,000 years. We are now in the second 1,000 years, and we're at the end of it. He has to come for his bride before the 2,000 years are up, and that's we're on the curse of the cusp of that right now. So we all know, especially us that go to church and read the Bible frequently, we know that we are living in the last of the last days, if there ever was a time before. I've heard all my life, oh, all the prophecies have been fulfilled and the Lord could come any time. And I would say, no, the prophecy of every nation coming against Israel has not been fulfilled. And I could say that up until just recently when Obama pretty much threw Israel under the bus and here now selling planes to his enemy. So we are at the point of Ezekiel's war. If anybody wants to find out where we are timeline, read Ezekiel 38 and 39. We are coming into the Ezekiel war where the nations come against Israel and the Antichrist would be exalted. And things will pass very rapidly because of the times will be so bad. But the reason they pass so rapidly, Matthew 24, is because of the Christian's sake, the elect's sake. Because of us, because of our prayers and because of our faith and our fasting and prayer for the situation that's going on, it is because of us those days are shortened, or they could go on for a longer period of time. Now, also during that period of time, it's broken up into 3.5-year segments, the pre-tribulation and the post-tribulation. The pre-tribulation is not as difficult as the post-tribulation. So there's still a Spirit of God roaming through the Christians, and the Holy Spirit is still roaming through the body of Christ. But we will be raptured off, I think, at the midpoint, and total evil and chaos will take over for that last 3.5 years. And I still think there will be Christians, or what I call saved here, but they will be the saved that did not have oil in their lamps and were not allowed to go into the wedding supper of the Lamb. So they have to suffer the consequences of those last 3.5 years. But maybe they will be vitalized enough to fight this onslaught of evil as best as they can. And be, even though they're martyred, they come out with a bigger blessing. In heaven, it says those that are martyred by Christ wearing the white robes and how they're glorified is an awesome thing. So I could go on and go on and get preachy here. But if we know the scriptures, we know where we are. And we need to be about our work. We need to be about our business of serving the king and serving the kingdom as quickly as possible, and warning those around us to prepare and to get their roads and their houses cleaned up, and prepare the way of the Lord. If a king is coming to town, you're going to clean your house up. You're going to clean your city up. We need to be cleaning our nation up because the Lord's fixing to come.
Oh, Mr. Dan, and that's where I just pray that people will attend that meeting on February 9th. That's a Saturday, when most people are at home. And it's an investment of your time, but I think you are going to be so shocked, and even teachers are going to be so shocked. We've got so many wonderful Christian teachers. They don't know what's coming down the pike. These Common Core standards have been said to get children college and career ready, but my question is, and food for thought for you, teacher or administrator, is why would they take away the best standards? Massachusetts had the best English language arts standards. They removed that. They took that away. California has the best math standards. They're not using that. They've taken that away. So for you to think that this is going to make your kids better, these standards are better, it's a lie. And one of the things, too, that Ms. Barbara has, she's been doing a lot of volunteer work in elementary school, and what she has noticed is something that a lot of parents are noticing, which is the math is so awful that you can't even help your young child with it. Even people with college degrees have a hard time trying to interpret. And the truth is, we interviewed a Professor Milgram, who is one of those that they asked to really set up the standards, these standards, and he could not sign off on it. He said, it's crazy. You let the children decide the best way for the first 2 years and then teach them the right way the second 2 years. And he says, it's crazy. We don't have that kind of time to waste. It's like they want the children to, I don't know. It's weird. It's almost like telling them there is no absolute right way. You can kind of figure it out with this and that way. And it's crazy. But one thing that Ms. Barbara says is it breeds disrespect, because that child looks at that parent as if that parent is just dumb, you know. And no, the parents are not dumb. It's the people that from Washington that have made this curriculum. They have an agenda, and it has raised a lot of confusion, Mr. Dan. So we're hoping parents and teachers will come, because God said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And my heart breaks, because it's like what you're saying, Mr. Dan, about cleaning up our houses. Well, you know, before we die, before we go to with the Lord, we would hopefully want to have our house in order, all our family, right, ready to meet the Lord. And I'm thinking, you know, the young children of today, these teenagers, they are so many of them, Mr. Dan, that's lost. You know, we hear about middle school, it's like a war zone. And, of course, as we've seen in Connecticut, and really, you know, the Columbine shootings, our schools are no longer what they used to be. It is a place for chaos these days. And so we're wanting to come together as a body and just really know what is going on and know what is that we can do to make a difference, because there are things we can do, but we can't do it alone. We really have to be united. So that means, Mr. Dan, that egos must be set aside. People who think that this is just trashing the leadership that we have now, no, that's not what it's about. People that think this is trashing the AEA or NEA, this is not what it's about. This is about loving the children, you know, to the point that you have got to look at the truth, because the truth is what's going to set us free. But anyway, I know I've gotten on that soapbox, Mr. Dan, but I agree with what you said. We've got to clean our house.
Well, we need to be careful, especially during the college years, too. We send our kids to the colleges that they want to go to, and we don't start doing some research. And, you know, the college professors will actually pick out Christians in their classrooms and hassle them and pick on them and make fun of them because of their religion. Now, where does this come from? It comes from something deeper in the spirit world, not just this world. It's deeper. You know, they laugh at in the science classes about creationism and so on and so forth, but they ignore Einstein's theory of relativity, which proves, yes, the Earth is older than we think, but time is relative, because where we are living in time, where it's relevant to that time. A day was a day 6,000 years ago when the Earth was first formed, but that day was a lot longer than the day, or our days are a lot longer now than they were back then, because the universe is expanding. I mean, I don't want to get into scientific discussion right now, but everything can be proved even scientifically. And we need to send our children to colleges that have scientists or science professors there that are Christians, and so that they can be taught truth and not theory.
Oh, you're so right, Mr. Dan. I have heard Ken Hovind talk last weekend. He was saying 70% of our Christian young people that go to college fall away from their faith.
Exactly. 70%.
And it's because of the brainwashing that is done. And it starts really in elementary school, you know, because, you know, they're taught that, you know, those dinosaurs lived millions or whatever years ago, you know. So right there, it starts off very early. And now, unfortunately, with the enemy's hand, this political correctness, where now this Islam is going to be really foisted on our children, I'm thinking, how much more can these pastors really, you know, be silent. I really cannot understand, and I'm just hoping that they will write down and say, you know, I love my congregation, I love my flock more than this. You know, political correctness, no. Really, and all they have to do is really know the truth, because they can talk about these things. The enemy has really so scared some of them that they don't even, I think I've heard some of them say they don't even turn on the radio. They don't want to hear the news. They don't want to find out what's being taught out there, you know. It's almost like hear no evil, see no evil, and I guess, you know, you don't have to really come against evil when you don't know what it is.
Well, Paul himself says he can see that the spirit of lawlessness is already coming against the congregations during his time. Think how much of it's already leaked into our congregations. You know, even though it's the best we have, Satan has really gotten into our churches. Don't think that he hasn't. And not only is it time to do all these other things we've been talking about, it's time to bring restoration back to our own congregations.
Oh, indeed, Mr. Dan. And I think, Mr. Dan, you know, where Peter was talking to Jesus, and Jesus was telling him, you know, well, asking him, how much do you love me? Then he said, feed my sheep, take care of my lamb. I'm not looking at the scripture right now. But there was another one that caught me, which is almost the same thing. I was really thinking about, who was it that was really, I think Jamie Foxx had said something about praising Obama like a god, you know, blasphemy. And I'm thinking, you know, but I'm thinking, what allowed that mentality to grow? I'm thinking to myself, you know, how could somebody get to develop in that disrespectful kind of thinking? But I'm thinking, oh, I hate to say it, Mr. Dan, because I'm reminded of the scripture, Matthew 24:45, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked. I'm sorry, Mr. Dan, I'm hearing reverberate again.
Yeah, I hear your reverberation. I don't know.
Okay, here I go. Okay, I think that's a little bit better. My master is staying away a long time, and he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he's not aware. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the part that really got me was where it says in the first sentence, it says, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master is putting charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? And I'm thinking, their food at the proper time? But then, when Jesus talked to Simon Peter in John 21:15, he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he says, feed my lamb. You know, there's something about the feeding that's important. And I'm guessing that he's talking about feeding them really what God's word says, Mr. Dan.
Right. And that's what constantly the Holy Spirit is feeding us what we need to know in the proper time. That's speaking of prophecy. Things will be revealed to us here in these last days that we didn't understand to begin with. I'll give you a quick example of that. My grandmother, I remember, used to say, well, it's going to be, you know, the Lord could come any time, but I don't see how the tribulation period is going to be too soon, because it says that all people will see the two witnesses come, you know, be slain in the streets of Jerusalem. And then I can remember when we got our first TV, with the old round tube and the black and white TV, she started praising God and said, the Lord's fixing to come, because now that prophecy is going to be fulfilled. And look now, every person, near about everywhere in the world has access to either TV or radio phones or cell phones that have images on them right now, all over the world, anytime. So,
And Mr. Dan, do you remember when it says when they see the sign of the Son of Man coming? What scripture is that? I can't remember, but it was saying something about woe to those who see that. It's like, I'm thinking, if I saw the Son of Man coming, I would be happy. I'm thinking, because I know I'm going to be, it's that time. But it's like, I can't remember the exact words, but it's like, woe to the many. And I'm thinking, when we look at what they've done in the United States, woe to the nations. It's talking about the nations. And I think, when you think about what they've done to Israel, what they're doing now against Israel, I can see nations would be fearful because, alas, they were wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's coming a time when every knee shall bow. Even the unrighteous, righteous and the unrighteous will bow. They will know, but for some it'll be too late to bow that knee, but because the Lord will already split the eastern sky, so to speak. But spiritually, we know in our hearts, how soon it is to His return. And those that are secular can see that the things are, they see the things going on in the world with the natural disasters. They blame it on global warming and all that. Well, that may be so, but that's still from God. This world cannot continue going on the way it's going without chaos completely taking over and we destroy ourselves. From the very beginning of the curse on the garden until now, we have constantly been dying as a planet. We are constantly going toward more and more into chaos. And it's a natural thing for a man to go into chaos because he follows his sinful ways, his fleshly ways. And, of course, God had to destroy it one time with a flood. But they were being influenced dramatically by the fallen angels who were finding the daughters of men attractive and, bringing forth offspring with demonic spirits and so on and so forth. And I don't want to get into all that. But we are at an end of an age, just as Noah was at an end of an age in his day. Things have to change to get better. Things have to be destroyed before we can have a new beginning. It's the Phoenix theory, and we're getting rapidly to that point. But those this time, according to Scripture, that are evil will never have their chances blown. It's over with. There's an eternal separation from God. In their minds, they won't ever know that there was a God once they are cast into the utter darkness. But we have hope. But we can't be selfish with our hope. We have to share that now while we have time, or we're going to be held in contempt and in judgment for holding it back.
Oh, my goodness. And what I was thinking about, too, about the things that they're teaching in schools, which, of course, evolution is one of those anti-God theories. And it was just a theory, but somebody was reminding me the other day that they're not even teaching anything else but that. They're not teaching creation, and it's almost, it's almost like this is the fact that Charles Darwin, that started off as a theory. But here's some words from him, Mr. Dan. He says, I was a young, this is his word near the end of his life. He confessed, I was a young man with unformed ideas. I threw out queries, suggestions, wondering all the time over everything. And to my astonishment, the ideas took like wildfire. People made a religion of them. Wow, Mr. Fan. Being bedridden many months before his death, Darwin was often found reading. When one visitor asked what it was he was studying, he replied, Hebrews, still Hebrews, the royal book, I call it. After speaking on the holiness of God and the grandeur of this book, Darwin declared, Christ Jesus and his salvation, is not that the best theme? And that's something most people are never going to hear, Mr. Dan, that this man had a fear and awe of God.
Yeah, sometimes it takes us to get to our old age to realize that, and I'm sure there's a lot out there. You know, but if you can just take break it down to its basic mathematical formulas, an atheist and those who believe in evolution have to believe that nothing times nothing equals something, or nothing plus something, or nothing plus nothing equals something, is ludicrous. Because things just don't happen by chance. There has to be an intelligent design to create all the intricacies of how this whole universal system works. You know, so mathematically, it has to be nothing with everything makes everything, and God is everything.
Mr. Dan, he is incredible. He is sovereign. And one of the things, too, that I have really been thinking about is, you know, God knows how we need to be, how we need to live, start off as a baby, grow, and then get old. And, you know, you see the little old men and the little ladies and how they're, you know, there's so many of them that's so close, so much closer to the Lord when they get so old. And we just hear this with Charles Darwin, you know. And I'm thinking, isn't that wonderful of God that he forms us that way? Because if he just ended our lives at age 30, I would think many more people would not even think about God. Because when you're young, you think you're going to live forever. But we're at a point now where, you know, we can look at the signs in the Middle East, as you've been just talking about, and we might not even have another 20 years. We don't know, but the signs are not looking very good. But even a year is very important in the life of a child, you know, because that child's mind is forming, and this is why it's so important. We ask people to come to the meeting on February 9th, starting at 9:30 at Open Door Baptist Church in Air Force, Alabama, because we are very concerned about the future of the children. And we're not just talking about physically. We're talking about souls of children. So we're hoping that our pastors, too, would love their young people, their own children enough, Mr. Dan, that they would want to learn. You know, I think the least that you could do is at least find out, you know, and know where the enemy is. And you know, the enemy's busy. The Bible tells us that, right?
Exactly.
So we cannot be blind. And I'm thinking to myself, sometimes inaction is just as bad as acting in sin. To know to do good and not do it. My goodness. But anyway, Mr. Dan, here we are at the end, and as always, you know, we love to close with prayer. And thank you that you're on with us. And we hadn't had you on for a while, so I'm so very grateful, especially with, you know, what we just saw yesterday with the Benghazi gate in the Middle East. Things are heating up over there. And I think God is really wanting us to start really thinking. He's, you know, what a merciful God we have, Mr. Dan, in that, you know, he doesn't really just not tell us. He says in his word to prepare ourselves.
Yeah, that's right. In our little circle of influence, we need to be doing all that we can. And if every Christian did that, we wouldn't be in the condition we are in right now if they've done it over the years. But we got a lot of work to do. We just need to get busy.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we want to do, of course, Mr. Dan, on that February 9th, is to come together in prayer, you know, lifting up the children. It's not just about information, but it's about, you know, uniting with those who wants to lift up the children in prayer. So if you would like to do that, please come join us because we need you. So, Mr. Dan, would you mind praying over that event and praying over really, I guess, the event that's coming up in the Middle East and here at home?
Abba, Father, Lord, we just praise you and thank you. for this program. We thank you for the things that we talked about, Lord, and I hope there was somebody out there that was listening that needs to hear the things that we were talking about, Lord. And I just ask you to open their hearts to your grace and to accept you as your Messiah, as their Messiah. Lord, we ask you to see to this convention that's going on February the 9th at the Open Door Church, Father, here in Enterprise, Lord, that we just ask you to bless it, bring people to it, Lord. Let people have a hunger for coming and learning the truth about things that they need to learn about. And Lord, I ask you to come against the snares of Satan that would hold these people back so that they can do this. Lord, I ask you to see to this nation, be with its leaders, be with our president, to open his eyes to some of the things that he's legislating through our Congress that are bringing ruin to this nation. And Lord, we just ask you to open his eyes and his heart. We ask you to open the eyes and the hearts of the congressmen and the senators and all those that are in leadership positions. Lord, we know that your will be done here in these last days, Father, but we dread some of the things that we read about, but then we bless the things that are going to happen, that you're coming to glorify your people, Lord, and we look so forward to that. Lord, we just ask you to be with those who are in the situations right now because of loss, like in Algeria, Lord, the oil wells there. There were 3 Americans killed there, but there were many more, Father, and these things are happening all over the globe. Be with those families. And Lord, be with those families of all the children that were lost up there in New Jersey. Lord, that's just so sad. And so many sad things are happening, Father, and it just breaks our heart. And the evil one will use that as a tool in the minds of the secular. Say, well, if there's such thing as a God, why does he allow these things to take place? But Lord, we know it's because we have driven you out of this nation that these things are taking place, Lord. And I just personally, I ask you and all those that are Christians that if would stand in agreement with thee, ask you back into this nation to bless this nation once again, Lord. Because as a nation, as a true nation that was based on your principles, Father, we need to be about your business of smoothing the path of your return. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you once again for the opportunity to lift you up and raise your banner. And we just give you praise and glory in your Son's name, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Mr. Dan. And listeners, again, we invite you February 9th. We have our state board member, Betty Peters, coming to inform us, and also Lois Zena, Alabama Federation of Republican Women, coming. Ben Larson, Christian Educators Association International, he is coming from Ohio, and also Lou Campanosi, which is for the Common Sense Campaign. So join us, come learn with us, and we give it all to God. And thank you. Please get a copy of our flyer at www.cityonahill.tv and share it. Thank you. May God bless you. Goodbye. Thank you, Mr. Van.
Bye-bye.